Oh my God, I'm so excited to have you. Very warm welcome, Agnieszka. Agnieszka is such a star. She has built Oplotki, a platform for handmade artists, handmade crafts, handmade art, actually. And not only that, you also helped in those little artists in building a business from that, and that in a period of time where the whole world was like out of normal. And, you know, especially that was super important. So I'm so excited to have you here. And we also have a shared journey. So we know each other from 3 years. And if I look at you today, the glowing lady from within, it's just such an inspiring journey that I really wanted to invite you. So thanks for being here. And maybe you give us a little introduction to yourself and to Oplotki by yourself.
Oh, thank you, Yvonne, for having me and such a beautiful, warm welcome. My gosh, we met like 3 years ago, and already then I felt like this online business and representing Polish handmade artists, you know, also abroad, was hell of a ride. But what happens now is like, I wouldn't even dare to dream that big. But, you know, just to go back to what I'm doing, like if you listening there, you know, Etsy and you're buying products that are handmade, you probably know my world, at least for a little bit. You at least took a sip out of it. What I do in our Polish Oplotki community is we organize handmade workshops for individuals who just want to, you know, chill out and log out of the spacing world while doing something with their hands, but also for those who actually want to use this tool more professionally, for companies that want to use it to pamper their employees, or for all those people who actually work using the online techniques and want to build a sustainable business out of their crafting skills. But when I'm talking about it this way, it seems like, you know, this soulless, cold business. But when I think of it back to the journey, how it all started, me, you know, professional architect who was just running around at the building site, dreaming about having kids finally, but never being able to squeeze it into my hectic schedule, but then being stopped by maternity leave to actually go back to all the things I love, which are painting, sculpting, crocheting, knitting, all things crafty, and having this opportunity of, you know, starting to go out, teach others what I do, just to chill out. You know, for me, that was a tool to go out of the house, leave my kids with my hubby, and go out to have some crafting, you know, meetings. And once I discovered this world, for once, for me, that was a tool not to feel this confidence loss and self-worth dropping below any sanity level, because as a professional, I've, you know, suddenly had a gap moment in my CV. But also that was this moment of discovering this magic that lies in handmade workshops, this moment where people just stop, take off their phones, talk about the painting they just did, the creativity that lies within them, forgetting about all the pacing world out there. I knew that there is some magic there. And when I also experienced the moment of like business masterminding during those crafting workshops, ladies sharing their experience, giving themselves advice, like empowering each other, I knew there is something to it, that I need to enter this world. And now when I'm back here at the moment where Oplotki is like a big organization, there are a lot of people in my team that are helping me out to organize those stationary events and organize the online events, and those that are actually helping me with the branch of my business that bases on providing business skills to all other handmade artists that want to go online with what they're doing. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And it all just started from this moment at a crafting workshop when I felt seen, when I felt this unity with other women, where I felt there is a space in this world where we can just be us, and that's enough to serve to others. Yeah, when I think of this story, it actually, you know, gives me goosebumps. that we live in such a, you know, we live in such a time that we can build this huge, business machine that is actually based on deepest values that we have within us, deepest needs as human beings. And this, hunch that we have at one point in time that there's something important happening here. And why is nobody promoting that? Why is nobody telling to the world that there's this potential lying in front of us? So yeah, that's basically what happened. Oplotki now is a thriving Polish community. And of course, we're having this conversation in English because my mission is also introduce Polish handmade artists to the world to show the vast tradition of handmade skills that is present in Poland. But, it started in Poland, but the more I go deeper into handmade industry, I see that is so valid all around the world, that those unique handmade skills that oftentimes were, brought up by elderly women or men doing that just locally in some little villages, there are such beautiful gifts that we can import to the online space and then export to the whole wide world for us as humans to appreciate this magic of going slower, being, with ourselves, doing something manually with our hands, and having this human being, this human connection while some products are being made. Yeah.
Oh my God. I think it's an even more beautiful introduction to compare to back those days when we first met. So I really got like shivers all over my body when you introduce yourself and the company and the mission behind it. I feel like, and unfortunately, our listeners cannot compare it to 3 years ago when we first met. It's even more powerful. So I remember back those days, I was totally on fire with your idea. And now it's such a deep passion, such a deep purpose I'm sensing here, that it's even bigger. So I think that's something interesting. And the ambition for this podcast is to go a little bit into the business models, into like you as a person, how you had to grow into that business and learn from each other. And what I do sense here, also from the very little catch up we had before, there have been like, I would say milestones or turning points. And I really would love to explore them a little bit with you. So if you look back to the history of Oplotki and yourself, because it's totally connected, what do you consider like the big turning points? What was the number one lesson in those turning points?
Yeah, that's such a great question. When I've been starting that, there was this moment where I just decided that once my second child was born, I'm no longer able to work as a professional architect. I already owned my own studio. So it was a really hectic time to, juggle the family, the business. And I always needed to pretend as if I were playing in not my own game. Like the rules are being made by men. And I always have to pretend to be double smart, double fast, double everything just to earn a seat by the table and earn decent money. And that was always at the cost of my family, my own time, me being me. I was needed to pretend. And when those two kids happened, I was actually so glad that I could have this, perfect excuse to stay at home, to maybe hide a little bit, to be with myself, to go back to all the creativity. And that was this first moment of actually trusting that there's something wrong. From the outside, I'm this renowned architect earning a lot of money, respected by my clients and my industry. But within, there is something squeaking and screaming, you need to change something.
It can. So the inner knowing, or we always, like we tend to call it also like this intuition.
Intuition.
Like calling, shouting at you, there's something else in it. And you listen to it and gave it some room and space to follow.
Exactly. And to me, that was the fact that I've been ignoring that voice for a really long time, a couple of years that I've been feeling there's something's wrong. But there was this moment of like click when I was stay-at-home mom and I was feeling that I'm kind of like wasting my potential. I have always been entrepreneurial. My parents are entrepreneurs. I was always like, it came easy for me to do business. And suddenly I'm there at home, you know, cooking, cleaning and getting crazy. I nearly paid the price of depression because I've been not allowing myself to actually like go to all the skills that I naturally have. I didn't have this outlet. And first thing that helped me was, taking care of my house as an architect. I was like kind of, you know, channeling that energy. And I've been crocheting like crazy, knitting like crazy, sculpting like crazy, doing all the stuff around our house. And I decorated our place in such a way that all my, you know, architectural buddies like from other, you know, companies and all of that, they've been just popping for coffee or, handmade cookies. They've been like, wow, I want to buy that. So I've been doing that and selling them. But then I've been not able to keep up. So I've been like, you know what? I'm going to just show you how to do that. It's so easy. And that's how the workshops happened. Like they've been coming to my place, you know, two kids in other room with my hubby after 8 hours of working in his corporate. And he was like, come on, Agnieszka, let's cut it out. Like every day you bring those women here, you're drinking, I don't know what. And I'm sitting down there in the room with two kids hushing, you know, shushing, not to disturb you. And he was actually the one that gave me this pivot because he was like, come on, we live in a city center of Poznan. You just go down the street and you've got beautiful cafe. You don't have to do that at home. So I was like, actually, you're right. And
oh that my was gosh.
The moment I made up the name, you know, it was like, okay, so I do like Facebook events so I can like gather people there to put the place on it. And that was back, you know, 7 years ago. So Facebook worked differently. It was organically like you do the event and everybody in the city knows that there's something popping up. And I remember like coining the name. It's a play of words of gossiping, like meeting for gossip and handmade, like the name of like the action of actually creating something handmade and oh, plotki. So that was really easy to like kind of, oh, I've got the name. Okay, I'll do the Facebook events. And that's how it started, that those Facebook events started to be something outside of my home. It was no longer for my friends. It happened that, you know, friends of my friends and their friends and the friends of their friends. And suddenly I had like loads of people that I don't know, majority of them women, coming to those handmade, you know, crocheting, you know, sabbaticals for 2 or 3 hours, gossiping about their life, sharing their, you know, deepest truth, deepest experiences. And like, after a couple of them, I like realized that it's no longer just about me, you know, chilling out and going out to not be with kids at home all the time, but it's actually a responsibility. I discovered that I don't have like, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist. And out there were women like opening up about their deepest wounds in their life. And back then I had no coaching skills. Like, of course, I kept up like educating myself. But back there, I discovered I have this like gift of creating a safe space where people are willing to open up. And now when I look back, it's like I thank myself and again, this intuition that I kind of felt, wow, it's something nobody I know has. And that's a skill that actually is so needed, so wanted by those ladies coming to those meetings.
And, you know, I just love how you're happy was the one person believing in yourself, right? I always talk about the power of the one person seeing something you do not see in yourself and really like, no matter what, you can do that. And, you know, providing you the idea a little bit and, you know, making a move, it's so good. And it's also, I think, one of your secrets I see from the outside, you're a team on that. So when I follow your social media, it's really like, from the outside, but maybe we can explore that a little bit further later on as well. From the outside, it feels like, during the times of your business, you have become an even happier, more fulfilled, and deeper connected couple. That's how it feels like from the outside.
Yeah, it is exactly like that. I remember the times where I was like a professional architect. My hubby is like a road designer. So it's like a perfect couple. You know, I'm sending him like some jobs and he's sending me to some jobs. And we've been always like you know, in a race in a bit, like financially, who earns more and, you know, who's going to challenge somebody. Oh, you didn't spot that in the design, right? Oh, you could be changing that. And I remember, like, as a dynamic, as a couple, I always felt we're kind of like buddies that are, you know, in the same race. Whereas now I'm more in this feminine energy, like my business is operating on totally different values. Of course, it's generating money. So that's something that I could talk about with my hubby, because that's the KPI that he's actually comparing our, you know, journeys with. But it's so different for me, where this KPI of my success is the ability to, you know, work from home, be elastic with my time. Now, when we have three kids and, you know, my priority is to be on every, you know, kindergarten party and like be with my kids when they need a hug or something happens at school and I could just go there because it's literally 10 minutes away on foot. It's like, to me, that's the KPI that I actually judge my business by. And being able to be there for them and also being able to be there for me whenever I need to chill out, I can just decide to take a day off. That's this magic that triggers becoming a different person, like more of myself, actually, like more of the ones that is daring to do things because I actually have a space to dream them, rather than having this external world telling you, okay, that's the definition of success.
I love that. And I think this KPI of success, maybe that's something I grab and steal from you because it's just brilliant and nailing the point, is it's also a little bit like the tricky part here, right? What is my success? And it like in my experience, it evolves over time when your business grows, when it's getting more stable, when you have different success, when you really believe, oh, there's something magical happening. And I really would love to discover that, because when we met, there was something really crazy going on in the world. It's called a little pandemic. And obviously that changed not only the world, but also your business. So how did your business model, how did you in that journey change, or How did that phase of the time impact you and your business?
That's such a great question, because when I look back from before the pandemic, I was already doing a lot of handmade workshops, already started to price my workshops. Like there was a lot of work to do around that, like that I could actually charge people for doing my mission. And I already started, you know, delegating some work, but those were basically stationary workshops. So I had a lot of handmade artists working in different techniques, whom I, like, let's say, hired in our pop-up workshops. So we've been doing them for like a couple of months in one spot in Poznań. And there's like a lot of, you know, handmade techniques and workshops going on. But I could feel there is a burden, like it's really heavy. It's really hard to scale, and it requires a lot of my attention. And I see myself falling into this trap of, I don't have enough time for my kids, my family, myself, and all of that. And I was like, I didn't start this business for that. There must be another way. And that was just before the pandemic. I was about to sign up the contract for our stationery, you know, place. And like, for me, that was like this huge credit, you know, to have our own place as a plotki, our own workshop area. And it was actually such a gift when I look back at what happened, because 2 weeks before the lockdown, I was meant to sign up the agreement and something happened. I couldn't go there because of the kids. They were sick or something. And I remember that, you know, the day that I was supposed to go and sign it, the lockdown started in Poland. And it was like, no way, you cannot go there. You cannot like do this deal. So we were like, okay, let's do it later. But we all know what happened later. Like we've got frozen for nearly 2 years, like world like changed in such a rapid pace. And before the pandemic, like maybe 1 year or 1.5 years, I already had this idea. It's so hard to scale when we're doing the stationary handmade workshops, and there has to be this potential of online business. There must be a way to use this leverage to actually scale that. And I joined Sigrun's online MBA. That's the mentor that we actually met later on. And I started studying how it is with online business. There must be a way to kind of scale. I already created my first, you know, online crocheting course, macrame course. And I already saw the potential in that business. And I already had this mindset, wow, in 10 years, I'm going to be selling, you know, all those magical handmade courses of all those techniques and Polish handmade. Everybody will know those beautiful artists. I will just like wrap it in this online systems and send it to the world. And when the pandemic hit, it was this craziness of a moment of a pause when I was like, oh my gosh, are we allowed to sell that? Like everybody's asking for it. Like everybody wants those courses, our online handmade workshops, because people were just basically getting crazy at home. And we've been like, are we allowed? Should we do that? Shouldn't we do that? It felt so wrong to actually sell. But after a moment of working on that, and that was a moment I actually met a lot of other mentors who did help me to like work mindset wise in a way that it's a service rather than, you know, just selling. Like selling is a service. You're providing a gift to the world, especially in a pandemic. Something clicked so strongly in me that I started treating what we have as a gift to the world that was so chaotic. So, you know, we couldn't go outside, so we had to go inside. And for some, it was such a, you know, difficult journey. And handmade was such a gift to go there.
So what I really sense here, if like, fingers crossed, we are not forced to learn it through another pandemic, but the scheme. So I always love to look for the patterns and the schemes. Yeah. If we break it down, and that's something really outstanding here as well. You already had a mission in your mind. You already had an idea, like a long-term view where you are heading to. Not only you as a person, Agnieszka with the two little kids, but also your company, Oplotki, and what you can bring to the world. So you had something bigger than yourself already thriving you on the long term. And then obviously, there's always homework to do. And usually the homework, also that's my experience, starts with you. It's internal. It's something you have to work on. And then doing the job, and this is where a lot of magic started to happen and things changed in my understanding. So everyone should have a vision, not only for yourself, but also for the company, connected to something bigger. And then doing the work, facing the work, and how do you feel like, how does this inner work, this mindset work, this personal growth work?
Yeah.
How did that feel like? How did you experience that when you're connecting to the vision, or when you are probably not that strongly connected to that vision?
That's such a great question, because now I can see it, like when I look at it in a hindsight, and it's so easy now to tell a story and kind of analyze what happened. Whereas when it was happening, it was so like intuitive. It was just like, as if this inner voice is just telling you, oh, you should do this and that. It feels aligned and you just go for it. You just follow that. And I remember becoming so clear about the mission that we want to spread the gift of handmade, that is so like, it can help people so much to go through the pandemic, like find this hobby that you can do. And when I listened to Michelle Obama telling how knitting, you know, helped her alleviate the stress, I was like, oh, we know that already for 100 years, right? So it's so funny, because I gave myself this permission of, okay, I know what's the mission. I know it's a gift. And I know that the byproduct of that will be thriving business. I didn't have like this idea, oh, I'll do this like that, and it'll bring me millions of dollars. And was always thinking of this, like, there's this beautiful value I want to give to the world. And I know that by giving this value, something will click and like magically fall into its place. And now when I tell the story, it's so funny, because it actually did. What we started doing, like, we already knew that we have handmade courses, like that you want to like teach yourself how to do crocheting or macrame or punch needle. We have those courses sitting there on our platform. And what we're starting doing, we've been like, people are smart. They will find it on our website. But what we want to do, we want to share that gift of the world to the world, that once we're there in a safe space and we do those handmade, you know, conversation over some knitting scarf or something, there's this magic. And once they touch this magic, they're going to want to buy some more. And that was our assumption. And what happened? We started doing free online workshops, like, you know, crocheting, you know, scarves, the cups, the furniture, the, you know, handmade poof and the carpet and the blanket that you can, you know, wrap yourself around on Zoom calls. And we've been doing craziness, like, oh, while you're on Zoom call, you can, you know, underneath this square, you can be crocheting to, you know, chill out when the, you know, corporate meeting is very boring. And we've been getting wild crazy with exploring what is possible because it was for free. People had no expectation of, oh, whatever value that I should get out of this, you know, transaction. No, it was for free. So people were just like, oh, I'm bored. I'm stuck at home. Let's just find out what is it. And it turned into those crazy crocheting, knitting parties, people, you know, drinking wine over like conversation. They've been not even, you know, knitting anymore. They've been doing like handmade cosmetics to put a mask on their faces. And it became so wild that a byproduct of all of that was selling our products. And once we started doing that, all the handmade artists that suddenly found themselves in their locked down handmade workshop places, they've got nothing to do because people cannot come to their workshop. They've been like, knock, knock, Agnieszka, can you teach us how to do those magical, you know, online stuff so we can like explore what we can do with our techniques? So that actually built another like pillar of my business. First thing was sharing the, you know, the techniques that I know that I could teach, but also it was sharing the techniques of others through coaching them online, how to use this online tool to actually, you know, share their gifts to the world. And that started, you know, exploding. So now when I think of it and when I teach others about, you know, how you should create your online business when you're a handmade artist, or when I export our like knowledge from the industry and I export it to, you know, other online entrepreneurs that I like host with my masterminds, now I can name it like, oh, that's a fancy business model, and you diversify and you have, you know, this strategy of, you know, being visible, and then people just come and see your authenticity and your mission and they buy your products. And it's so funny because I can only name that from a hindsight, but when it was happening, it was coming out of this pure like belief that there is value that we want to bring to the table. So yeah, that's really funny part about the pandemic story.
And again, there is so much in it because I just like, you know, the company I'm building and the company I'm running is a female business female business scaling. That's the name. And it's a coach-salting company. So it's a little bit like you said, okay, I'm going to show you how you can scale your business, how you can build your business, how you can grow your business. And yeah, my expertise is really helping you to form an organization and you go, you know, get a sense of diversifying and so on. And you were using scaling quite a lot already. So I wonder if back those days you knew already what scaling is and you just answered it, no. But what is scaling to you now? And when was the time where you felt like, ah, okay, now I'm like, the female part is this inner knowing and just following the calling. But then it was like, ah, this is where I recognize what I'm missing, so I can start looking for mentors, because we, like you and me, I think that's also something we have in common. We never stop learning. We always grow and we have people next to us helping us on that. So when did you, like in hindsight, when did you realize, ah, that's the one that's actually scaling to me, and this is when I started to understand what I need to look for in order to grow even further?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question, and I so appreciate what you're doing, because that's like sparing women a lot of mistakes that I made on the journey, because I didn't know that there is a person that helps to scale and grow. To me, like, I was in a program by a mentor that we met on her program. And like, she was brilliant for my stage where I needed to learn how the online business works. And I also like joined her next program, which the promise was like, I will teach you how to scale, how to grow. And on some level, the promise was kept because it gave me all the structures, you know, how to delegate your work, how to create a business structure of your organization and how it should be calculated in order not to make mistakes of, you know, maybe thinking about the financial part, because there are taxes that are going to be like differently structured than when you're a solopreneur, and all of those like really hardcore structural details about scaling. And I felt so prepared, and I went into this like beautiful, you know, soft, feminine, like intuitive business of mine, and I tried to put it into this beautiful cage that would actually make it bigger. And you know, I love this metaphor because that's basically what I did. I did grow so much by just following my intuition and just like playing with the ideas of how better can I serve? How better can I reach more people in order to serve? And it started growing, scaling, and I had a couple of people helping me out on board. And that was like a beautiful, like soft way of scaling. And then I thought to myself, oh, I'm not so equipped in those scaling tools and the know-how, so I need to learn that. And I've been giving this, you know, like I would even say really masculine way of scaling, like really brain-based, like really, and it's really like functional. It functions in a way, but there was this part missing that could really make space for the way this business actually grew and actually functioned. And I had this moment of thinking to myself, am I killing this baby? Am I actually, you know, making some sacrifices in order to grow? Is there must be a different way of scaling, of growing without actually killing what's best in this company, without killing this flow, this fantasy with being with people and doing a whole bunch of things that are for free, right? And what came to me was actually exploring also other mentors who've been sharing from a perspective of experience. Just this concept that I came across in Melanie's world that we also met in her programs. You don't know how you do it until you did it. Mm-hmm. But there's also this slight modification for me that you not always have to know how you did it yourself. You can actually ask people who already did it.
Yes.
And that's why I so much appreciate your work, because there are people who are actually witnessing scaling, leading other, you know, female entrepreneurs in the journey of scaling. And there are so many, you know, golden nuggets that you kind of accumulate. That if only I knew that there is this person that could share other ways, I wouldn't fall to this trap of thinking there's only one right way. And now when I think of it, it also came from, you know, this deep respect towards my mentor who actually introduced me to this online world. But when I look at it now, I feel it's also this idea of getting lazy in our growth, thinking that there's this mentor who will, you know, give you all the answers, in comparison to taking responsibility of, okay, you have all those mentors, you can take in their knowledge, but then you just filter it through your own like intuition, sense of, you know, it's right or wrong for me, it's the right way for me to do that in this way or that way. And only then you go on further. I took this, you know, little moment of not taking all the things that I intake from a mentor through my own filter. But fortunately, I discovered this moment of, you know, trapping myself in a big structure. I hired too many people. I made this mistake of hiring a person that was managing all the people on my team. And that was a good experience. But I suddenly discovered that in my company, where I value being with people, value being with my team and with my clients on my handmade workshop, I turned into that CEO in a, you know, my golden castle that talks only to my project manager and then like does nothing else than, you know, managing, you know, two people who manage all the rest. And that was such a beautiful, humbling moment for me to take a decision to go back and actually decide, no, I want a different type of a company. I don't want to build a 12 people company. We actually shrink to 5 people company. So I still manage my team. They are actually self-led, self-managed. So that's also a different story. But going from a project of, you know, publishing our own book with 12 people on board that I basically didn't have contact with those readers down there because they were like people doing the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming back to this pleasure of being in my business, but also being with the people in my business. And that was the way to discover that scaling can also be downscaling. Whereas we oftentimes think about it like you have to grow. We have to grow and grow and grow. And where is this enough? And, you know, just to, you know, wrap up this story of scaling, to me being at this point where I'm now, it was so surprising to discover that downscaling, when we're talking about the size of a business, when in terms of employees, it actually resulted in upscaling our revenue. And that was such a humbling experience to, you know, experience the moment when I actually could like say goodbye to my huge ego, boosting the company just to boast, you know, we had some publication in Forbes. I've been on, you know, TEDx stage sharing, you know, the idea behind my company. And I can see like my ego just growing, growing, growing. And suddenly humbling myself to just shrink actually resulting in, you know, growing financially wise.
Jura po mnie przyjdzie. Ty się obiad i pójdziemy do parku.
Okay. Sorry.
That's what I love. We are building family businesses, right? We are building businesses that fit our life and our needs. And it's the most beautiful wrap up you could give me here, because I think, like, if I think about my definition of scaling, it's not a matter of higher, bigger, da 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 da. So yeah. For me, my definition is to build a business you love living. And that's like, you know, that's why your KPI of success is so beautifully, because we are defining what's important for us. So we take the decision, we prioritize, and we do that long-termly, and then we can build our business around that. And for me, there are different angles of approach. A team is one, the product suite is another one, the financials, the revenue. You know, it's not only about more, more, more. It's probably also about more impact. So what I would, what I really love focusing on is the purpose and the impact. So how can we scale our impact? Because actually that's what I found. That's what driving us females to actually create a business.
Yeah,
it's not only the impact on our families, but also the impact on the outside. And if we can scale that while still following our KPIs of success, just to borrow that again, I think then we are in heaven on earth.
Yeah. And you've mentioned about the scaling, because, you know, the idea of scaling, like, to me, I took it really naively at the beginning. Like, I always thought it's bigger, 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 and greater, and more people. And, you know, also in online bubble, we're told that, you know, six figure months and seven figure year and all of that. Like, we kind of chase this white rabbit of, you know, KPI, like financial KPI of being a success. And when I realized that my success like was defined about this feeling I feel just like at the beginning of a Plotki during those handmade workshops, when I felt like I'm in my zone of genius. Like, I know that like word by word, I create this like sacred space to hold women in their vulnerability, in their sharings, be that, you know, financial stuff, be that, you know, some personal stuff at home, be that like some business thing that she needs to have some other eyes on it. But I have this gift of creating like really small spaces, like 5, 6, 7, like 6 people would be max, that I could like kind of open up to those women, and like magic is happening. It's not that I'm doing that. I'm just creating a space to allow that to happen. Like, that's the closest definition I could like get to my gift. And once I realized that I've been thinking about scaling in terms of like more workshops, more places where I could do that, I was trying to teach other people to do that, like other handmade artists to facilitate that space. And that kind of works, because many people have that gift, and like given my tools, they are like boosting that. So I could like replicate myself in this term. But I also realized that scaling is also about choosing the people that whom I serve. only when my business started growing and I found myself at this place where like money is no longer an issue and I could really experiment whom I want to like invite to my like closest circle, I started offering those business masterminds, like high-end product, high-ticket products. And on Polish market, you know, on international market, that's maybe not something very new, but on Polish online market, that was a new offer. Like nobody was daring to put that price on the table. And like I operate in Polish, what is so like 2.5K for a mastermind that lasts half a year and we meet twice a month. That's like really cheap, right? But in Poland, when we operate in our currency, like 10K Polish zlotys, which is 2.5K in dollars, was like a crazy number. But I realized that not only I attracted the women that were actually at that level of, you know, affording that kind of expenditure in their businesses. So I was kind of attracting my peers, but also the gift that I have of creating this safe space would be kind of taken or like exported from those handmade workshops that were operating on a, you know, handmade crocheting and all of that. And I could actually implement those skills, this gift to business setting. So we no longer, you know, do the crocheting show. We actually talk about our businesses, but my gift of creating this opening, vulnerable space where we all can take off our, you know, I nailed the business masks, and actually be vulnerable and share our pitfalls, our breakthroughs, our like willingness to change, to pivot, because something inside tells us that it's already this voice is telling you there's something else you want to do. It became a new definition of scaling to me. Mm-hmm. And I found out that like even scaling is so subjective. Even scaling has its KPIs that can be so different when we approach it through our filter. Yeah.
Oh, that's such a beautiful perspective on scaling and such a good wrap up. And it feels like there is so much more into Oplotki than in the past. And it will grow and grow somehow because we never stop growing. So if you summarize it now, Oplotki nowadays, the vision you have for it, what's next for Oplotki?
Yeah, that's such a crazy question, because sometimes I dare to dream it, but sometimes I don't even dare to tell that that vision I have. I discovered that what I'm doing on a Polish market is so so me and so different to all the mentors, all the programs that I've been using to educate myself, have a different perspective. I oftentimes invest in English speaking programs, like that's the main source of my knowledge. And I kind of feel that I took all I've learned, but I did put it on a Polish industry, which is like a bit difficult. It's not so advanced as international market, I would say. And I did manage to create something that really works. And I'm so confident that something I kind of experimented with and like discovered or kind of coined some solutions there that was tested and it works is something that can be so easily exported to more mature online market. That there's also this gift that is not only on this handmade layer, but also on this business like creativity layer, for example, using affiliation for service-based businesses in a certain way that we use it in our business. And that's how I scaled the business on our market. But also witnessing my mastermind clients or my program clients going into international markets and just like, you know, like exploding like crazy with their success. To me, the vision is that I can take all I've done and all I've learned and all I've tested on this Polish, you know, safe space, my background, and actually daring to export it to this big bubble of online business. There are so many, you know, already established specialists there, so many renowned, you know, mentors whom we admire and we learn from. And for me, it's just like daring to like dig this toe into this big ocean water and like maybe even put a leg into it and maybe even hands, and maybe one day just swimming in that ocean of possibilities and proving kind of like proving myself that it was worth to take this dive, to actually try and to dare to take all the things I've built here back in our Polish background and maybe bring it, you know, to the world.
I can literally see you dancing in this ocean of international mentors, business, and artwork.
I'm gonna be dancing with you now.
Because I was like allowed to observe a little bit from the outside and from the inside, what kind of way you already been through, and. Yeah, being also aware of the Polish market, I spent there like 1.5 years traveling to Warsaw quite often. It's a very different market. It's a different culture. It's different challenges. So mastering that, I can really see you not only diving and tipping the toe and really dancing through the ocean of the international business world. So I'm super excited to see that happen. And I'm super proud and super thankful and grateful for, yeah, being in your world somehow and having you here. And I can sense maybe one day you would love to return to tell us about the international dancing. And yeah, it's so incredible. I could go like into so much more topics. So it's really shouting out loud for a follow-up. But I can just say thank you so much, Agnieszka. It's been so wonderful. And for everyone out there, we are sharing, obviously, the social media handles. And it's definitely worth checking out Agnieszka, not only from a business perspective, because a lot of it is still in Polish and I still cannot read Polish, but really observing your entrepreneurial journey, especially on LinkedIn. You're also sharing a little bit on that, like sharing your retreats, what you go through. So it's definitely worth having an eye on you in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Yvonne. And thank you so much for having me in your circle. And just to, you know, wrap up this idea of circle, because, you know, when you go into any like places online that you find a plotki, you will probably stumble on this motif of a circle that is everywhere in my logo on a plotki, but also on my like private, like personal brand, Agnieszka Gaczkowska. And the circle, it doesn't come just from this first circle that I drew when I needed to, you know, do this first online or offline workshop stationary. But it also hit me like lately that I've been operating on a paradigm that shifted. Like, you remember when we've been like at school, we've been taught from our, teachers, and that was this smartest person in a room, and like we've been always like the little more dumb and didn't kind of understand. So that was this one smart person, and we've been meaning to like learn everything from that person. And I really love Melanie Ann Layer, whom we also met like in her programs. She's got this concept of like putting those people on a pedestal, and that doesn't serve to anybody. Whereas when I was looking at our like circle in this logos and all of that, and I was thinking, wow, we've been doing that for ages. We knew that this paradigm is faulty. We've been sitting around the fire as women, as men as well. And we've been talking, and one person was speaking, and that was this mentor who was sharing a story, a learning, a breakthrough, something important that happened and was worthwhile to be shared. Whereas once that person shut their face, they start listening to the others around that circle. And that gave us so much grace in being at the same time a student and at the same time a mentor, that we can, you know, chill out for a second. We don't have to be the smartest person in the room constantly, but at the same time, we can be this powerful person that knows something, that has a story to be shared. And I thank you so much, because by being in such a podcast, I always go back to my story, but I also appreciate so much you holding the space to, you know, go back with those memories and have that fireplace where we can like be that person around that safe circle, and actually opening our mouth and owning that story and believing that it's worth saying, worth sharing, because somewhere down there, you know, on this internet, you know, other end of the spectrum, is a person that needed to hear that in order to take that first step. Yeah.
For me, it's more a circle of sipping a champagne rather than the fireside. But it's actually the same idea. And that's why this podcast is called Champagne Circus. So we can meet in a fun environment, because I also realize that fun and pleasure is a huge, huge driver in your business. Sipping a champagne and having exactly those conversations, because they are not only for you, they are also for the listeners and also for us. I used to call it win-win-win. So even back those days when I was in the HR department, I always wanted to create a win-win-win situation for all parties. And that's actually the driver for that here as well. So thank you so much for bringing really the full, complete, raw, authentic you to that space and sharing all those insights without anything holding back. That's at least how it felt for me. And opening up this, you know, if anything is possible, everything is possible. And you made it in the Polish market and you will dance through the international scene. Anyhow.
Exactly. So. I just had this vision of, you know, drinking champagne and sipping our toes in this ocean water. Like, I'm going to stick that on my vision board. Definitely.
I love that. So I'm sure we're going to meet earlier, but at latest, when you made that point happening and manifest that, we will meet here again. So thank you so much. And we will share all your social media handles in the show notes. So make sure to check out this powerhouse on the Polish market. And you're also quite into the press scene, so it's really worth just observing with your eyes and learning with your eyes on all the press release work you're doing there, because that's also super inspiring. So thank you so much, Agnieszka. Thank you for being here. So if you like that episode, just leave us a message. And yeah, thank you again. Looking forward to all the KPIs of success, and see you soon again.